this morning, turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 21. Now hold your finger there and join me in prayer for the study and for Danilo, for Rick, and for Elisa Cass. She had another blackout, okay, while she was by herself. Okay, so it was kind of a setback, kind of a discouragement for her. And she still has a desire to get back to India and serve there. And also, if I remember, I want to pray for all of our new drivers. We have a number of new drivers. And pray for their parents. So let's pray. Father, first of all, we ask that you would bless this time in your word so that you would be honored. We would see your character. We'd see how much you love us, how we're always on your mind. And you have taken every detail into account, Lord, in everyday life. The boring and the mundane you're involved in because you love us. We also lift up Danilo and Calvin and Rick. Lord, as they go and continue to serve you, Lord, with the unknown around every corner, dangers, and our common enemy waiting to hinder them, to ensnare them, and Lord, if possible, to even kill them. So we ask your protection over them. We join together. We ask that you would cover them, encourage them, remind them that you are aware of every single thing, even stuff they don't know exists right now that they will be dealing with. We also lift up Elisa, Lord. Continue to heal her. Continue to bring her along. And as we pray right now, let her know that her church family here loves her and is praying for her. And Lord, we also pray for all of the young people in this church who are drivers, who are out there learning their skills. We pray that they would be just exceptions to the rule, Lord, that they would have an absence of accidents, of fender benders, and that if that were to occur, that you would keep them from being harmed and let them enjoy their freedom. But Lord, use it to build their character in your spirit. And I also like to pray for Christian Goodman, Lord, as she's away from home and making decisions and experiencing new things. And so protect her, watch over her, guard her, send an extra couple of angels to watch over her. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I encourage you, if you weren't here last Sunday, pick up those copies of the study because setting the groundwork for these rules and laws and covenants and all this other stuff that many times, as I mentioned, pastors really skip this. They pass over it. Now, if you look at how far we went last Sunday, there must be a lot in there. Number one, it isn't me just saying that. Paul tells us in the New Testament, in his letter to Timothy, all scripture is inspired of God, and it's all profitable. It's all good. Even the law. Because as you grow and you learn the law, we only went 19 verses last Sunday. Okay, I thought we were going to do maybe three chapters. 19 verses. As we go through it, as you read through it, and this is something that you may want to take into account. After today, and wherever we end up and we stop, make a little mark in your Bible, or remember, and then read ahead about two chapters, like Stephanie does. Okay? Read ahead. Get kind of a preview. I remember Chuck used to say that. Okay, we're going to stop here. Now read ahead the next two chapters. The reason that the law is so important is it teaches us how God views things. Now this is for, listen up, this is for the nation of Israel. This is for the nation of Israel. We no longer operate under this type of setup. But one thing that has remained the same is when you see how God responds to something within his nation of people at this point in time in history, you get to see how he thinks of stuff. thou shalt not murder. That was what he gave the Jews. But do we get a green light to murder today? No, because it's against God's principles. He says no. So we get to know how he thinks, as far as the word will show us. We will find out that he actually limits the amount of getting back at somebody that we would normally want to do ourselves. There's a term in law enforcement. If one of your partners gets beat up in an arrest and you arrive at the scene, and of course, normally in great numbers, there's a term that says we have to play catch up. Okay. We have to make up for what that guy did to our partner with the intent to have the suspect never forget he beat up a cop, and he may bear those marks for the rest of his life. Playing catch up. God says, there will be none of that. The penalty will fit the crime. Because given freedom to do our own penalty, we will go way out into the extreme. Because if we get wronged, we're going to wrong somebody back even more. God says, I know you. That's why I'm putting limits. Why does he put limits? Because of mercy, of grace, of love. He doesn't want us left to ourselves. That's one of his principles. So the first part of it is we went through the first 19 verses and we saw his heart. Now, as you read some of it, like, if you sell your daughter to a master, you're like, what? That doesn't sound right. You need to hear the message. You need to hear what was behind that. If you own a slave, what? He's ordaining slavehood? You need to hear the message. See, I will repeat it as I said it last Sunday. Do not allow contemporary culture to define Scripture. If you do, you're going to get it all wrong. Example. One of the classes I was teaching, it might have been the first or second class I was teaching in Nimile when I was out there with Rick. I was teaching through Hebrews, and it talked about marriage. I think I was teaching one of the Gospels. It talks about marriage and not having a plurality of wives. You're not supposed to have a lot of wives. Well, this is an actual reality in this particular part of the world. There are a number of wives. Men will have more than one wife. And according to Scripture, that disqualifies a man from being able to serve as an overseer. And so they were worried because culture was pressuring them to view that as kind of okay. So we must have spent a half an hour with questions during that. I didn't get very far in that day's lesson. And finally, they realized, your culture says you can have a couple of wives. The Bible says you can't. Which one wins? Culture or Scripture? Scripture wins. Scripture wins. There was one of the worst times in Israel's history was during the time of Judges. Maybe you Bible students know. One of the broken record phrases over and over and over again was this: and every man did what was right in their own eyes. Why? Well, you see, the law coming from God says you can't do what you want to do because it's not good for you. I love you. I'm going to show you how to live. And what is our response? Oh, thank you, God. No, we don't do that, do we? We hate being told what to do. We rebel at it. We hate it. Even if it's God. I don't like being told what to do, even from God. I was thinking about this yesterday. I'm sitting out in the backyard with Jenny. I thought, I have been, in my way of looking at things, on the shelf for about 2 years. And my first response was to complain and to get angry. Until I realized That wouldn't do any good anyway, right? Like there was a play so many years ago. It says, my arms are too short to box with God. Our arms are too short to box with God. You have to slowly realize that everything he does in your life, everything he gives you is a direction. The sooner you receive it as good for you, the more liberty you're going to have. If you try to live your own life your way, I did it my way like Sinatra, you're going to be in bondage and you're going to find yourself in problem after problem. And guess what? He'll have to bail you out every time, but not without consequence. So in verse 20, we pick it up again. Like I told you, you really need to get the background on the first 19 verses. So if there are any CDs back there left, grab it. If you need a copy of it, it's very important to get these first 19 verses. Fill out a request, and I'll get them for you. Verse 20. If a man strikes his male or female slave with a rod, and he dies at his hand, he shall be punished. Well, the context here is he'll be executed. He'll be executed. A life for a life. One other thing, just so you'll have understanding this morning. These rules were to be enacted by the judges, by the Elohims, otherwise known as the Mighty Ones. They were representative of God. So they had a whole bunch of, you remember the story, right? Where Moses was trying to make all the judgments. He had thousands of people lined up, and his father-in-law says, what are you doing? He says, the father-in-law says, you need to get some people to help you. Well, those are the judges. This is who this is going through. This is not a free-for-all. They did not have a right to initiate judgment and penalties on their own. It had to go through the judges. Okay. So this would be pretty simple. We may read this because of our kind of American way of looking at things. And we think, well, of course, that's right. If a man kills, and of course, the term slave here, it means servant. If he kills his servant, of course he should die. That's just the right thing to do. Oh, well, wait a minute. We're dealing in an ancient culture here. This is radical. Do you think that if a Canaanite or a Hittite or any of those other ites, masters, were to kill a slave, they would be executed? Of course not. Any more than during our Civil War times, if a master killed a slave, would he be executed? No. Why? Because that was one of the great divisions of Civil War slavery and indentured temporary service to pay off a debt, servanthood. Big difference. Also, what is God saying here? I have no favorites. If this person is working for you for 6 years, as we saw earlier in last week, you treat him in a way that is protective of him. In the ancient cultures, if you were wronged, the judgment decided on how much money you had. If I was a poor person and I wronged a rich person, even if the rich person was at fault, he won. Might is right, not in this. This is all a radical thing going on here. Verse 21. If, however, he survives a day or two, no vengeance shall be taken, for he is his property. So what's going to happen is he'll be out of service for a number of days, weeks. He's not going to get executed. The master won't. But who's going to lose out? The master. He's losing out his employee. He can't use him. See, now God isn't ordaining this. God is saying, I know it's going to go on, so I'm going to set up guidelines for your protection. Verse 22. If men struggle with each other or fighting, so that, and they strike a woman, a pregnant lady, so she has a miscarriage. Now, this is a premature birth. This is not a death. Okay? So here's the deal. They're fighting. They didn't mean to. They didn't have that in their intent. But they happened to cause this woman to go into premature labor, however it works, and she has the baby. This is what it's looking at. Yet there is no further injury. The baby doesn't die or get injured. He shall be fined as the woman's husband may demand of him, and he shall pay as the judges decide. There's the judges. So I get in a tussle with Nap. My elbow hits a pregnant lady's stomach, belly. She goes into labor, has the baby. Her husband can fine us. She takes it to, they take it to the judge, and judge says, you will pay this and this amount of money. Now, what's the principle here? What's the principle? The principle is this. When we do something, even though we didn't mean to do it, even though you had no intent, but you caused something to happen, you're responsible. You're responsible. That doesn't happen today. Not enough. Now, how does that principle work out? Oh, in our home. It's a consequence. How do you raise a child? This is a principle. I follow this principle. Do something wrong, he pays a price. Do something wrong, he pays a price. Normally, at a certain part of age, it's the spoon. Like Cindy said up at the retreat center, she had to give Giselle the spoon. Okay? What happens if no consequence is suffered by a child or an adult when something is done? Because that's what you hear from kids, right? I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to do that. Or it wasn't my fault, but something happened. What does God's principle say here? You give them the spoon. They have to learn that there's a consequence to what they do. And that's the way it is in life. That's the way it is in life, right? I was curious to see during Andrew's homeschooling years, he had a real kind of casual approach. We all did, except when Jenny took over. But for the most part, he got a real casual approach. It was fitted for him. So I was curious, how is he going to do in college when there is no casual? How many here have gone to college? Okay. When you go to college, if a paper is due on such and such a date, it's due, isn't it? That's it. End of story. It's due. He delivered. Why? Because he knew that if you don't, there's a consequence. He learned that. If you don't show up for the first day of class, what do? They drop you. Well, I didn't mean to. I forgot. Tough. See, this is hard stuff. What's God doing? Is he being mean? No, he's trying to teach us responsibility. He is the model for all of the dads here and moms of the parent. By the way, we will have another Back to Basics next month, July. The first session is going to be on Satan. And then the next session is going to be on parenting again, because some of the people missed that, and that may go for a number of Tuesdays, okay? So if you missed that, I know I've been trying to get together with Gabriel for a long time, and it just doesn't work, so I thought, I'll just do it. We'll just have the sessions, and we'll go through all of that for two or three Tuesdays, and we'll cover that. And if your kids are already grown and you have grandkids, come to it for your grandkids. And so there's a principle. They didn't mean it? Well, too bad. Verse 23 talks about a miscarriage with the death of a baby. Okay. But if there is any further injury, then you shall appoint as a penalty, what does it say? Life for life. What does this principle say? Well, if we do anything in irresponsibility or with intent to kill what God views as a person, not fetal tissue, God holds that person as deserving of the death penalty. They're not fetal tissue. It's not just a mass of cells. God has ordained these fetal little babies. They are babies. They are human beings who, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, he already has a relationship with them. When Javan and Jonah were just in that first moment, when they were first just beginning to divide their little cells together, he knew them, had a relationship with them, loved them. And God says, oh, not only that, I knew them before that even happened. So where does that place all of the abortionists? We call them doctors. Or how about both believers and unbelievers who have had abortions? What does God's principle say they are deserving of? That's the kind of God we have. Protector of the helpless. Do we suffer the death penalty? No. Because the believers who went through that, their sins were all taken, past, present, future, and put squarely on who? Jesus Christ. That's only a fraction of what he carried for us. Because he said he came and fulfilled the law. You see, God demands that this law is fulfilled. Oh, don't think he doesn't demand it to not be fulfilled. This must be fulfilled. And he fulfilled it in through his son on your behalf. Now, if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ, that if you were to die this morning and you're not sure what would happen, then you need to ask him into your life today before the sun goes down. Forgive me for my sins, O God. I know that you're God. I know you came back in your own body. I know you're alive today, and I know you're the only way to heaven. Forgive me. Make me yours. The law makes us realize how awesome God is, how holy he is. We treat him so lightly sometimes. We think he is just almost kind of like a big us. We blaspheme him all the time. Well, let's move on here. So within the same context, you shall appoint a life for life, verse 23, an eye for eye, this is the same as you probably remember this, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. Now we need to look at this here. The taking of a life demanded the death penalty. What about knocking out a tooth? No. Now the word for here, tooth for tooth, etc., etc., for. The word for there in the text here has to do with restitution or a penalty that has to do with money. Okay. God is not saying, now this is where we have to not be religious. God is not saying, Jenny knocked Lisa's tooth out. Lisa, go knock Jenny's tooth out now. See, that's how we think. God's not saying that. He's saying there must be a price paid equal to the level of what happened with the tooth getting knocked out. What would that be? Well, that's up to Lisa. Lisa says, I think I should have a baby goat. And I see you don't want goat, you want a Lexus. But back then, a goat was a thing. Or an oxen. But she said, I think I should have a baby goat, and I think I should have a whole mass of homemade cheese that she made. And the judge would go, that sounds fair. See, this is what Jesus was trying to get across. There is built in within the law an avenue for mercy. Oh, she could have technically gone and, boom, knocked her tooth out. But what is it teaching Lisa? Mercy. Okay, I'm not going to knock your tooth out. But God wants you to pay some sort of price. Give me the baby goat and give me a wheel of cheese. And we'll call it quits. What is that? That's mercy. Remember Jesus said? If someone strikes you on the face, the law strictly saying, we strike them back. Jesus says, no, turn your other cheek. What's he teaching? mercy. See, the law was made for mercy. It is heart-related. What does the religious mind do? The religious mind reads it like a robot. It's a lot deeper than what this is. It deals with the heart. It deals with the heart. Let me say that again. The law deals with your heart. Everything does. This is the same God that sent his son for us. Same God. Verse 26. If a man strikes the eye of his male or female slave and destroys it, he shall let him go free on account of his eye. What would normal situations dealing with a slave be? Tough. Go stick some gauze in there and get back to work. That was the ancient culture then. What about here? God says, oh no. That slave is made in my image. Just as the master is made in my image, you do not do that. He's now going to go free. Even if it started the first day of his 6 years of service, he's going to go free. All his debts are paid up by you, Mr. Master. And Deuteronomy, remember Deuteronomy 12, he doesn't just go free. The very best of the groves, the fields, the vineyards, and the livestock go to the slave to help him get started in his new life because he was in debt. Oh, you have to read this as how and who it comes from. This is an amazing thing here. And if he knocks out, verse 27, if he knocks out a tooth of his male or female slave, he shall let him go free on account of his tooth. If an ox gores a man or a woman to death, the ox shall surely be stoned and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall go unpunished. Those accidents happen. That happens every year in Wisconsin. Some farmer ends up in a field or a pen with a bull. And they may see this bull. I'm not kidding you. They may see this bull year after year after year. They throw hay into it. They throw grain into it to feed it and all that. And a nice bull, nice bull. They go in. The bull mashes them. Every year, some farmer gets mashed by a bull. And out comes, you know, Aunt B, and she's like, oh my gosh, you know, there's Farmer John there, and he's like a doormat. That happened. It's an accident. Who's responsible? Nobody. Now remember, this is not a comprehensive code book. This is to give the judges a place to bounce off of when they meet, because they're going to have all these people coming to them. And so they have to have some kind of principle laid down. So, nobody gets punished here. However, verse 29, however, I like the way the King James writes it. If a ox or a bull is wont to push, what in the world? That's why I can't teach from a King James. Andrew reads the King James like he's like some kind of Bible thumper. I can't read a King James. Want to push? This is what it means. If a farmer has a mean bull or oxen, and he knows it's mean, and people have told him it's mean, keep that thing penned up. Watch it. He knows about it. Let's read it. If, however, an ox was previously in the habit of goring and its owner has been warned, yet he does not confine it and it kills a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned and its owner also shall be put to death. I didn't mean to. I thought the gate was locked with my three pit bulls. Do you know that these breeds of dogs are wont to push? Well, that's why I bought it. It's kind of like personifies me. This is my Bud Light shirt, my pit bull, and my four-wheeler. What if these principles were in action today? How many people get killed every year from pit bulls or Rottweilers or what have you, right? I bet you not any people would be buying those breeds if they fried those owners when that happened. See, the crime fits to punishment, and the punishment fits to crime. Why? Why? Because you see, when principles of God are in place and followed, life is much, much better. Much, much better. Life is orderly. It's predictable. This is why I pray for the young drivers. We have Jessica out driving, Andrew out driving, Elisa Park out driving. young drivers. Now, most of us here are old enough to remember 5 years ago, 10 years ago, driving around this area. Was it like it is now? I feel, I'm not kidding you, I feel like, and I don't want to scare the young drivers, but I feel like I'm driving in Kampala or in Nairobi or in Mexico City. It is crazy. There is no order. Somebody wants to go across and get on the ramp and they're on the wrong lane, they're going to go anyway, right? You've seen them do that? Just right across. No rules, no order. God says, there has to be order. If somebody kills another person, they must leave, because if they are left here, they're going to do it again. If there's no consequence, if you put him in death row for 30 years, watching DirecTV and eating 3 squares a day, what deterrent is that? It's no deterrent. You watch the news, there are always parolees. They come out within a year. The guy that killed the girl at Clemson University, he had been out less than a year. What was he? A sexual criminal. He had already been in for that. Now, there's about 5 states. Montana's one of them, I think. Where if a man or a woman molests a child, they get the death penalty. I had to go and put another flag in my house to celebrate that. That was the best news I had heard for a long time. Well, but remember, mercy's woven in here. Look at verse 30. If a ransom or payment is demanded of him, then he shall give for the redemption of his life whatever is demanded of him. Oh. So I have a bull, the mean bull, and it mashes Ryan. Tiffany comes to me and says, you really should die, but we're going to go to the judges and I'm going to demand payment and money, because she's a merciful girl and God allows mercy in this case. See, as you go through, you begin to see the nature of our God. See, the great giver of the law is one big gracious heart. But he's righteous. He's not sentimental. Please remember this. He is righteous and merciful. He's not sentimental. Sentimental is what makes parents not spank their children. They might not like me. They might think I'm mean. And God's saying, forget about what they think of you. What do I think of you? What have I told you to do? When he was little, he says, can I have grace? I said, I can't give you grace. You got to get spanked. You got to. Why? Because I'm afraid of God. He's telling me to do this right now. And if I don't, the Bible says you're going to grow up to be a fool. And you'll be God's fool. Some of you, if you do, I know I've seen it with Ryan and Tiffany and Brooke. That is one happy little girl. Not when she gets spanked, but she's happy after. Life is great. When you have children that don't get spanked, well, I give them time out. Where is that in the Bible? Time out? Have you ever seen a kid in time out? They seethe with anger. They seethe. Why? Because nothing's been taken care of. There's been no consequence. They sit. God knows what he's doing. We just have to walk by faith that he does. And he rewards those that obey him. Remember, obedience is not legalism. It's a way to freedom. Verse 31. Whether it gores a son or a daughter, it shall be done to him according to the same rule. So it doesn't matter of age of who's killed here. Verse 32, if the ox gores a male or female slave, the owner shall give his or her master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned to death. 30 pieces of silver. for a gored slave left to die. 30 pieces of silver. Does that bring to mind anything? That was the price that was paid for Jesus. A gored slave. But what was the price he paid for you? Priceless. Precious. The blood of Jesus Christ. Willingly, not grudgingly. He willingly did that for you. He is the giver of the law, and he's the one that fulfilled it for you. You embrace that today. You hold on to that. Now here's another. This would be carelessness. If a man opens a pit or digs a pit and does not cover it over and an ox or a donkey falls into it, the owner of the pit shall make restitution. Remember that word. If you write in your Bible, you gotta circle that. Restitution. He shall give money to its owner and the dead animal shall become his. Oh yay. Thank you. What's the principle here? In carelessness and there's something that happens, I am responsible. I come running into Mr. Martinez's house, trip, fall into their aquarium, break the aquarium, fall over, roll onto their dog, smash their dog, and Ganilla says, "Oh, are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm okay." "Well, our dog's like Gumby, and our fish is gone. But that's okay, because Ganilla's nice. That's okay, as long as you're okay." What does God's principle say? I replaced your dog, I replaced your aquarium, and I replaced a fish. End of story. That's how God views things. And you know, when you think about it, that's right, isn't it? But our kids get by with that at times. "I didn't mean to." They come running through. Shoo. I like to watch Andrew walk through the living room sometimes. Amazing. He knocks stuff over. I don't know how. I don't knock it over, and I'm 3 times bigger than him. And he's driving. Verse 35. If one man's ox hurts another ox so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and divide its price equally. And also they shall divide the dead ox. Or if it is known that the ox was previously in the habit of goring other oxen, yet its owner has not confined it, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead animal shall become his. Now, these oxen, this is important to remember, these oxen were not like pets. Example. Dan is a plumber. When he was not getting free money from the city of Los Angeles, and he was really working his own job as a plumber, he had plumber's tools, whatever that may be. And he had a truck, and he had his tools, and that was his livelihood. That's what oxen were to the farmers. They were the tools in the truck. What if he had all that stuff stolen? What would happen to him? Bad deal. You lose your oxen. Bad deal. You come to a halt as far as being able to support your family, to earn money. This was a serious thing. Remember, though, the crime is going to match the punishment, and the punishment's going to match the crime, because God is in charge of this. Verse 1 of chapter 22. If a man steals an ox, precious thing, or sheep, and slaughters it, or sells it, he shall pay 5 oxen for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. What if he doesn't have all that? Then he becomes a slave. Chapter 21. He becomes an indentured servant. Permanently? No. 6 years. The 7th year, he's out. No more debt. He's given oxen, sheep, cattle, chickens, you name it. He's given wine. He's given stuff from the olive groves. He's given everything to jumpstart his economy again. That's a pretty good setup. Why? Because God cares. See, we read it here, we're like, yep, there we are. We're real religious. You know, eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. When we get wronged, well, you know, that's, I demand this. What about when we wrong? Are we saying a tooth for a tooth? No, we're saying mercy. God knows that. He knows how we are. Boy, he knows how we are. If the thief is caught while breaking in and struck so that he dies, there will be no blood guiltiness on his account. Okay, we're talking about a burglar. I need some background here. The houses were made of clay. Doors were bolted. Family lived in one room, or they were tents. This is occurring, according to the next verse, this is occurring at night. At night, times are scary. They did not have street lights. They didn't have their chandeliers. It was dark. So in comes an invader into the home. Dad wakes up. He doesn't have time to figure out what's going on. He kills the intruder. He pays no price for that. But if the intruder is coming in during the day, and Dad is able to see that there's really no weapon. Well, let's read on. But if the sun has risen, verse 3, on him, there will be blood guiltiness on his account. He shall surely make restitution. If he owns nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. So here's two things going on here. If the guy is killed in the theft, and it happens during the day, the guy has to pay a price. If the thief breaks in and he does steal something during the day, he has to pay double back. The principle is this. Don't get hung up too much on the details. The principle is this. If you take something or break something or injure something, you're responsible. It's that simple. It's a good principle for both raising children and for our own lives. Verse 4. If what he stole is actually found alive in his possession, whether an ox or a donkey or a sheep, he shall pay double. Verse 5. If a man lets a field or vineyard be grazed bare, okay, you let your cows go out there and whatever, and they just, goats are notorious for this. They will just chew it right down to nothing. Okay? So that's what happened. If he lets it grow and then lets his animals loose so it grazes in another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. Payback. It has to be. Because he's careless and he's inconsiderate. What's God teaching here? Be considerate. Be considerate. Your dog gets out and digs up Annette's pansies in the front of her yard. She just planted them. She just came back with a whole flat from Home Depot and she's planted them. The dog gets out and digs them up and then runs back home. The owner of the dog is to make good on that. The owner of the dog is to bring a new flat and put them in. But not just Home Depot stuff. The best. They go to the real nursery and get some from there. Okay. So God is watching over everybody here. Carelessness, verse 6. If a fire breaks out and spreads to thorn bushes so that stacked grain or the standing grain of the field itself is consumed, he who started the fire shall surely make restitution. How's the fire going to start? Well, this is what they do. In order to clear brush, they set fires. They're controlled fires. Sometimes they get out of hand and poof, it burns the neighbor's whole field. This happens in Nimley. The compound is surrounded by, you know, fields and bushes and all that. And I guess it's a couple of times a year, they burn the weeds and stuff. It gets real high. A lot of times they burn it for protection's sake against the LRA because they can see, through the once used to be foliage. So they can't hide there. But for the most part, it's agricultural. That's what's happening. They'll start a fire to clear their field, and then it gets out of hand. He says, you're going to make restitution for that. They can't just say, I didn't mean to. Now, it fits everywhere. Example, when he was smaller, Jenny would say, did you take your pill? He takes a pill, medication, for his migraines. He'd say, I'll take it right now. Hour would go by. Oh, Andrew, did you take your pill? Oh, I forgot. Consequence. I forgot. God's principle says this. What she instructed him to do did not make a worthy impact on his mind to honor her instruction. He forgot. Consequence? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Forgetting does not cut it. Do you think the forgetfulness factor will diminish after that? Absolutely. Why? Because we're mean? No. No. Parents, you know that it's going to follow. What we do with them now is going to follow them for the rest of their life, just like you carry things today that you picked up back then that you struggle with now. Do our kids a favor. Get it out of them now. How? The Board of Education on the seat of education. Wonderful plan. Surprisingly, it turns out very happy kids. And God does that with us too. He spanks us. Verse 7. If a man gives his neighbor money or goods to keep for him, and it is stolen from the man's house, if the thief is caught, he shall pay double. Okay, back then they didn't have banks. Okay, they didn't have storage. So Dan's going to go on a trip. He says, Dave, can you watch my two dogs and three cats? Okay. No, he hates animals. But anyway, or his property, his tools. Okay, this is what happened because he's going to go on a trip. It's stolen from the man's house. If the thief is caught, the thief's going to pay. If the thief is not caught, then the owner of the house, that's me, shall appear before the judges with Dan to determine whether he laid his hands on his neighbor's property. It was stolen. Did you catch the thief? No, I didn't even see him. Dan says, I think we need to go see the judges because I think you're wearing a new shirt and I think you sold my stuff. So they determine. Verse 9. See, this is radical for the ancient civilization. Look at this. For every breach of trust, verse 9, whether it is for ox, for donkey, for sheep, for clothing, for a lawnmower, for a shovel, anything which one says, this is it, the case of both parties shall come before the judges, he whom the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. If a man gives his neighbor a donkey, an ox, a sheep, or any animal to keep for him, you're going to watch him, and it dies or is hurt or driven away while no one is looking, it just happens, an oath before the Lord shall be made by the two of them that he has not laid hands on his neighbor's property, and its owner shall accept it, and he shall not make restitution. Okay? It's just there. Now here's a key verse. But if it is actually, what does King James say, the word for actually? If it is, what does King James say? Is it say indeed or something? In fact. If it is in fact stolen from him, he shall make restitution to its owner. Now, that doesn't sound right. Well, here's what it means. That word in fact, it means if he observed it getting stolen, if he saw the people come in, pull the truck up, and he's watching it, ooh, they're stealing Joe's oxen, and he watches it go off, then he's got to pay for it. Then he's got to pay for it. Verse 13, if it is all torn to pieces, let him bring it as evidence. He shall not make restitution for what has been torn to pieces. Animals got it. If a man borrows anything from his neighbor, oh, how many times does borrowing something go bad? If a man borrows anything from his neighbor and it is injured or dies while its owner is not with it, he shall make full restitution. Okay? When I first moved in with Jenny, we were married, of course. We be shacking. We first moved in together. I started cleaning out the shed in the back and throwing stuff away, like is my thing, okay? And since I had the hedge in the front of her house, I had it removed, okay? And I go to the back shed and I found an old hedge clipper. I'm like, we don't need this. So I threw it away, the electric one. So time goes on and she says, where's the hedge clipper? I said, oh, I tossed that. We don't need that thing. She goes, that was my dad's. So I said, well, we'll get him another one. So I got him a Black & Decker, a real nice one. So now they're Dutch, okay? They don't even throw nothing away. So she took the new one to her dad and says, here's your hedge. And I'd been there a long time. She borrowed it a long time, okay? She took the back to him, and he's like, a new one? What happened to the old one? And she says, well, Dave threw it away. He went, ha? We're responsible for it. We borrowed it. We're responsible. You borrow somebody's car. I go borrow Jessica's new little Honda, and I run over something on the freeway. I run over, you know, a shovel or something, and it comes up and ruptures the oil pan. Sorry. It wasn't my fault. And Bob says, hey, Exodus 22, buddy. If he borrows anything, verse 14, he's injured, dies, he makes restitution. But if the owner is with it, he shall not make restitution if it is hired or rented, for it came with its hire. So I rent something, a cow. The owner comes with it to watch over it. Somehow, some way, the cow dies. God says, you were there with it. It's all included in the hiring deal. You're responsible. The guy who borrowed it is off the hook. What's the principle here? Right is right. Wrong is wrong. God seeks order. I'm not telling you to live by the law here. I'm telling you that the principles are good for us. If you ever have a question, what do I do? You know, I borrowed this from Gabriel. It was a CD player, and I broke it, and he said, oh, it was old anyway. That's okay. But he's out of it. I replace it. I replace it. It's the way it goes. There's room for mercy. There's room for mercy. That's the other side of the law. We had a guy here that was part of the worship group, and we bought a brand new overhead thingy. It's like $300. Brand new. We had been using these old ones. We bought a brand new one. He had custody of it. Coming out of the house, he tripped and fell and broke it. Not just broke it, shattered it. He offered to pay for it. I said, that's okay. We'll deal with it. Don't worry about it. But the principle was he would have been within his rights to go ahead and pay for it. Nothing personal. It's like Don Corleone says, it's all business. You have a very loving God. He wants order in our lives, and his law is filled with his mercy because he is that way. If my message ended. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this. We ask that you would continue to bless our time as we go through your law. Bless your people. Give them a good week. Remind them of your love for them. Remind them that you are interested in every aspect of their lives, even the mundane and the boring. So we love you, Lord. We thank you for saving us.